All right, so in Sunday school here, we are going through types in Genesis. Types in Genesis. So what does that mean? Types are things in the Bible that we can, since we have the whole Bible, we have all of it written out for us, hopefully you've read it all, you read through, is the more you acquaint yourself with the Bible, the more the Bible opens itself up. The more the Bible reveals itself, and the more you learn about the Word of God, the more that you read the Word of God, it opens itself up and you start to see things that you'd never seen before. Pieces start to go together that you didn't know went together before. And what was once just a bunch of sometimes individual stuff, you can see the Lord in His hand putting the Bible together and blending those things together. And so in Genesis, as you read through the book of Genesis, the beginnings, very foundational book of the Bible, you start to see that God, in the book of Genesis, as He wrote the stories and put them together, He started to forecast things that we can now see because we have the rest of the Bible. So now with the whole Bible, we can take the stories of Christ and we can take different spiritual applications in the New Testament and we can look back and we can say, oh, I understand. I can see where God placed these things, where I can glean from and learn from these things in the Old Testament that have New Testament application. All right. So somebody once said this, is that the New Testament is the skeleton of our doctrine, the skeleton of what we believe and what we try to apply in our lives. And yet the Old Testament fills out that skeleton and puts some meat on the bones. Right, so as we become more acquainted with the New Testament and our understanding of what God has for us and the stories and what God has told us, we can look back in the Old Testament and we can say, hey, look, we can study this story, we can study this character, we can study this passage of Scripture, and we can gain more fruitful understanding for our lives to put onto what God has said over here. All right, and we when we talked about this the very first Sunday school that I was talking about this new series, is we understand that we can't just take anything in the Old Testament and make it a doctrine for the New Testament. That's not how types work. Types work where we have a solid scriptural basis, and then we can find something that has some application to that solid scriptural basis. We don't make up New Testament doctrines by saying, no, it has to fulfill this Old Testament story. We don't do that or we get ourselves in trouble. Okay. We don't get to dictate what the Bible means. I don't get to, and you don't get to. The Lord gets to dictate it through the Holy Spirit, and that's why we search the Scriptures and say, Lord, please show us what the Bible says. We don't want to have some kind of theology and make the Bible fit our theology. We want our theology to come from the Bible. We make the claim that we are Bible believers. And of course, that's kind of an insult to most other religions because they would claim the same. But for instance, some religions, they say, here's what man says, and here's what the Bible says, and we make those even. We don't put scriptural importance over our traditional importance, and where tradition doesn't match the Bible, we'll just pick a random verse and say that this is what it means. That's not a good way to understand what God wants for us to have. That ends up with a bunch of man-made traditions that are not according to the Scriptures. And so we want to base what we do out of the Scriptures. So we do have to be careful with types. We have to make sure we're not overlapping something so that it doesn't say what it doesn't say, right? So we don't want to do that. But we do understand that we can glean some things clearly from the New Testament Scriptures when we look at some of the Bible stories. So Genesis chapter 4, turn there this morning, please. Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to look here at Cain and Abel. Genesis 4. We'll start reading in verse number 1, but the topic will be Cain and Abel. This morning, we'll see if we get past it, all right? So I have another one ready to go, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes, all right? Genesis 4, like my pastor used to say, if you If you listen quick, I'll preach quick, all right? Which, yes, exactly, it makes no sense whatsoever, but that's what he used to say. Genesis 4, let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." All right, so the story of Cain and Abel, of course, we know what happens later, is Cain kills his brother. All right, Cain kills Abel. We understand that from the story in Genesis 4. But I want to look here at these first 7 verses and kind of draw out some things here about Cain and Abel. And so in the story, we understand that there were these two offerings brought, both of them is what they did. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, Cain a tiller of the ground. And it comes to offering to the Lord, a sacrifice unto the Lord. And Cain brings all of what he had, or some of what he has. And Abel brings the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord didn't respect Cain's offering. And so on the forefront, it would look like God's just kind of playing favorites, which I know this is not popular today, but sometimes God does play favorites. Sometimes God says, this person have I blessed, and this person have I not blessed. And sometimes God says that in the scriptures. And so here he says, Cain, that's not the offering that's acceptable. He says, Abel's offering is acceptable. And Cain gets angry about it, and the Lord calls him out on it. The Lord calls him out. Why are you mad? What's wrong? You're mad? Why are you mad? And verse number 7, he says, hey, if thou doest well, if thou bring the right offering, if you bring what I've said to bring, everything's good. You're angry. You're not. You shouldn't be angry. But if you bring the right offering, things will be forgiven. You'll be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin is right here. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He was the firstborn. He was the oldest. And if he would have done right by God, then he would have had the place of the firstborn and things would have been fine. God would have accepted them both and went on with what they were to do. But that's not what God had said to do. And God had already designed with Adam and Eve when they made themselves the fig leaves, right? What did Brother Grimes call it last week? Camouflage. That's what he called it. It was the first camouflage ever made, right? It was Adam and Eve when they made the aprons to cover their nakedness after they had sinned. And God says, that's not good enough. Your clothes and what you have decided to cover your nakedness isn't good. It doesn't count. They were trying to hide their sin, right? And so what's God do? He makes them coats of skins. And we can look at the Bible and we can find out probably what that was. That was probably some lamb skins. And they had taken that and he made a sacrifice for them, an offering for sin. And he had made these coats. And from the very beginning, we see this sacrifice. We see what God has accepted in the Bible and what God has said. And so you see that here. Cain was probably aware of this because his parents would have made him aware that this is the sacrifice that you should offer. And he said, no, I'm going to do it a different way. And so what we find out is, as a type, and we'll look at some verses, is that Cain and Abel are a type of a carnal with Cain and spiritual with Abel, type of a carnal and spiritual Christian. All right, so it's a type. We're not saying that Cain and Abel were Christians like you and I, but in type, we can see the carnality and a spirituality of you and I. You and I, now being saved and born again, thank God for salvation. Thank God it's a free gift. Thank God that we get His righteousness given to us. Thank God that He was our sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All right, we don't have to offer bulls and goats. We don't have to keep an Old Testament law. That was accomplished through Jesus Christ. And so once we get saved and born again, and the Holy Ghost of God comes inside of us, God gives of us His Spirit, we now have a new man that's in us, and we still have the old man. All right? So we have a spiritual man, which is after Christ, the Holy Ghost of God inside of us, and we have a carnal man. What's a carnal man? A carnal man is, that's where our word carnival comes from. All right? I don't know if you've ever been to a carnival. They used to be bigger many years ago. Someone would come along and they'd set up a whole bunch of stuff and you'd have a carnival, right? And what was a carnival? Everything that was fun, right? Ooh, look at all those games. You mean if I can do this impossible game, I will win this monster-size stuffed animal? Then if I win, I'll have to carry it around the rest of the time? That's worth it. It's only a dollar to throw 4 ping pong balls into glass bowls from a mile away. You know? You know what carnival games are set up for? They're set up for women that would really like it if I could have this big stuffed animal. And they're set up for men who really think they can do the game. The women are like, you'll never be able to do that. But I'd really like you to try to win this stuffed, because I would like this stuffed animal. If you win this stuffed animal for me, it means love. And so men are like, I can do this. Watch, $1, you know? And you're chucking a ping pong ball. Yeah! It's never happening. You see somebody walking around with those things every once in a while, and you're like, it didn't happen. I don't believe you paid them, you know? And what'd you have? Good food, right? Food, sometimes there's rides at a carnival, there's shows, there's, you know, the magic shows, there's all kinds of stuff. What is it set up for? It's set up for fun. It's carnal. I'm not saying everything carnal is sin, but the spiritual man thinks spiritually, the carnal man always thinks carnally. And so we have both of those living inside of us if we're saved and born again. When you first get saved, if you weren't raised in church and you didn't know really anything about it, and you started to come to a Bible-believing church, you started to get into the Word of God, and you started to hear the preaching, before you were saved, somebody says, hey, you want to go to church? And you're like, that sounds like the most boring thing I've ever heard of. Some guy gets up there and he's just talking about this, and sometimes he's getting on my case about stuff, and man, that's boring. Songs are not exciting at all. The songs are boring. The preaching's boring. We're sitting there forever. I'm thinking, man, is this guy ever going to get done? And you just, you know, maybe you go or you go to something because someone invites you or there's a special event or something. And all right, I'll go. And then you get saved. And you don't really know what's going on, but man, you get saved. You have some peace in your heart. The weight of sin seems like it's lifted off you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and try to stop doing it yourself. Right in the minute, it's just joy. And then you come to church and you start singing these songs and you don't know the songs. You're picking up the hymn book. You don't know how to follow along in the hymn book. Right, especially those ones where the hymn writers are like, let's make this extremely difficult. We want to fit 6 songs on 1 page. Right? So we're going to repeat you back in here, and we're going to draw all these little symbols, and you're going to get no idea what's going on. All right, but you're sitting there, and you're going, man, these songs are okay. Yeah, these aren't that bad. They're talking about the Lord and what He's done for me, and thank God for that, and it's not bad. And then the preacher starts preaching, and you're like, all right, so he said a couple good things in there. Like, I was paying attention a little bit. He said a couple things that were all right. But what happens, man, all of a sudden you start to have a hunger. There's something different now. You're like, those songs aren't as bad. Church, I kind of got some help from church. I was actually encouraged. I was there and I got encouraged. And I do want to live for the Lord. And I do love the Lord. And man, this Bible, it's a big, I don't know where I'm going. And I have to look at the index for every single time that I'm supposed to be going to some new book of the Bible. And everyone else is there like 40 minutes before me. You know, and I'm finally there. And then he's like three other passages gone already. You know, it's like, man, this is frustrating. I don't know. But there's something about that Bible. There's something about the Word of God. And what happens? Why? That's the spiritual man. That's the new man. But then, of course, there's a carnal man. Now look in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. If you don't have all the books figured out, it's towards the back, all right? It's not the big Gospel of John. It's John wrote these other ones, and they're in the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 12. And really, all that stuff is okay. I mean, we're not giving up the songbooks because somebody doesn't know how they work. It's all right. We just take a little bit of time and we can figure it out. And just stay faithful. And man, those songs, they mean something. Those old hymns, they were written with many blessings attached to them. And so we're not going to stop turning our Bibles because maybe someone isn't as quick. It's okay. The Lord will bless it. And the more we handle the Word of God, and the more we turn in the Word of God and handle it, the more precious it becomes, and the more we learn it, and the better we become at the Word of God. 1 John 3, verse number 12. 1 John 3, verse 12. We'll go to 10, just because. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, he shows up again. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. All right, so we get a little more to the story added here. A little more that wasn't in Genesis, given to John, and John wrote it down. The Bible says, John, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. All right, so we start to see now that the works of Cain were evil. He was going against what God had said, and those works were evil. And Abel's works, his brother's, were righteous. All right? So what does that mean? That means there is something more going on here. There is something more going on, and we know that. We can deduce that from the passage in Genesis, because the Lord says, hey, my paraphrase, just offer the right sacrifice and you and I are good. Just repent of your sin and you and I are fine. Offer the right sacrifice. Without blood, there is no remission. Right? There is no remission without shedding blood. Right? Without this, Hebrews 9, just do this and we're fine. And Abel and Cain obviously said, I'm not doing that. Why? Because his works were evil. His works were evil. He said, no, I reject what God says, but he was listening to what somebody else said. Who? The wicked one. The devil. Right? It wasn't of the Lord that Cain killed Abel, but it was of somebody. And we know who that was. It was the wicked one. Right? In Genesis chapter number 3, where the Lord comes and says, hey, what's wrong with you guys? And they're like, something's different about you guys. Well, we ate of the fruit, right? And they go through that whole thing, and what's the Lord say? He says to the serpent, and he forecasts, he says, hey, the seed of the woman is going to bruise your seed, serpent. There's going to be a problem here, and it's going to be victorious over you. So what has the devil been trying to do since the very first two boys were born? Mess with the seed. Mess with those boys. If I can get those boys to do wrong and do wicked, if I can get them out of here, then there'll never be one that'll be right. There'll never be one that'll be able to hurt me. Of course, Jesus Christ shows up, and we understood that God used a virgin woman and the seed of the Holy Spirit, the seed of the Holy Ghost, in order to fix that, right? But from the very beginning, what was Cain doing? He was doing the devil's will. There was an influence there. And what's that like? Well, it's the carnal man versus the spiritual man. Do you ever realize that? The spiritual man says, you should do this. The carnal man says, we don't want to do that. We're going to do this other thing. And so then here you are. Someone's got to decide who's going to win, the spiritual man or the carnal man. And a lot of times, we're not even spiritually discerning enough to know that the carnal man is often doing the bidding of the wicked one. So I'm not killing anybody. No. But when you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do, there are effects, great effects. And so there's this carnal man and there's this spiritual man. And the Bible says Cain's works were evil. He's the carnal man. Abel's works were righteous. I know we don't always have it all figured out. But when we listen to the spiritual man, we're way better off. Way better off. Look in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse number 4. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. All right, so Abel offered the sacrifice that God accepted. It was more excellent than Cain's. And it was by that sacrifice he obtained a witness that he was righteous. All right, so it wasn't that he was just a good boy and Cain was bad. It was by his sacrifice God said, okay, you're righteous because of the sacrifice. It wasn't because he offered the right thing. It was the offering of the right thing allowed him to obtain some righteousness. Does that make sense? It wasn't that he took care of the sheep and then he brought the sheep and brought it to the Lord because it was his effort and it was his livelihood. It was that was the accepted sacrifice that allowed them to obtain some righteousness. All right, so what does Cain do? Cain brings a sacrifice that was not accepted and he offers it up. And all the excuses that I imagine Cain would have given, it was not counted for righteousness. Why? It was not the right sacrifice. And God set the rule. Not Cain, not Abel. God set the rule. And so what do we have? Abel, through his sacrifice, was righteous. What is that? It's a spiritual man. What's the carnal man? The carnal man is, hey, why am I not good enough? That's the carnal man. I'm better than that other person. All right? God says, you need perfect righteousness to be accepted of me into heaven. And the carnal man says, well, that's not fair. I'm not perfect, and you made me this way. Right? Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm better than my neighbor. And Lord, so-and-so says that, you know, they found religion, and so, but I'm a better person than them, so you have to accept me too. Well, I've done all this in my life. I've done this, and I've sacrificed for you, and I've given this, and I've done this, and what they're really saying is, the carnal man really says, well, I've kept myself from doing all that really bad stuff, so you have to accept me for righteousness. Right? That's where the carnal man goes. Because I haven't killed somebody, you have to let me into heaven. Because I've been faithful with my wife, you have to let me into heaven. Because I haven't done the really bad stuff, you have to let me into heaven. And God says, I make up the rules. And so what happens? The spiritual man, when we can bow this carnal man's pride in our own heart and accept Jesus Christ as our sacrifice and what he did on the cross of Calvary and resurrecting from the dead, when we can accept that for our sacrifice, then God says, that is your righteousness. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when you accept it by faith, that becomes your righteousness. And the carnal man says, well, I don't want that. I don't want to have to do that. I want to do my own thing. And so you can see when the Lord says, when you're saved and born again, and the Lord says, do this, this is right, this pleases me, this is what I want you to do as my child. This will give you peace. This will keep you from harm. The carnal man says, I don't believe that. I can make my own choices. Things will be fine. I'm going to be the exception. I know a lot of people that go down that path, they end up in a bad place, but I'm going to go down that path, and then right at the last second, right when I'm ready, I'm going to jump off that path, and I'm not going to have that same ending that somebody else has. Right, Brother Walt? You deal with that. Amen. A little bit? Amen. With some of the people that you deal with? Like, nope, I'm going to do all of this over here, but I'm not going to have the bad part at the end. I'm going to have all the fun and then jump off before the bad part. That's what the carnal man says. The spiritual man says, man, you stay away from that path. If it even looks like it begins to go in that direction, you run away from it. Amen. That's what a spiritual man says. You go in the complete opposite way. And the carnal man says, look at everybody. Everybody's on the path. What's wrong with, don't be weird. What's wrong with you? Don't be the only one not going down the path. Everyone's going down the path. That's the carnal man, and that's the spiritual man. And that was Cain, and that was Abel. Both of them. In that way, in Genesis 4, when we were there, it was, what did Cain bring? He brought of the fruit of the ground. He brought of his own works. He brought of his own labor. And listen, it's good to work. It's good to work. It's good to labor. It's good to not be lazy. It's good to, Cain was, had some character in him, and he went out and he tilled the ground, which God said was going to be cursed, and he was going to have to work by the sweat of his brow. And he went out there and he worked hard, and he got into the dirt, and he got dirty, and he put some effort in, and he grew the crops, and he was a tiller of the ground, and he did all this. And at the end of the day, he was wore out and he was tired, and he brought a sacrifice to the Lord, and he said, here, Lord, this is what I've done. And the Lord says, that's not good enough. He says, What are you talking about? I work harder than my brother. He just hangs out there in the field with the sheep. He just goes around every once in a while and, you know, tells it to get back with the flock. Where are you going? Right? All those backsliding sheep. He's just out there hanging out in the field. No big deal. That's easy work. I'm out here breaking my back in this garden. He's over there just walking around with that stick, just hitting on the sheep a little bit to remind them where to go. I'm working harder than him. What do you mean his is accepted and mine isn't? It was the works. It was that carnal attitude. It was that carnal nature. And what happens? Abel, he brings the firstlings of the flock. He brings what God had said to bring. That was what it came down to. He obeyed the Lord. And when he obeyed the Lord, it was a type of a spiritual Christian, someone that's following the Lord. And that's what it was. You see in verse 4 there, he brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. You know what that's not, you know what that's a picture of? It's the firstlings. It's the pure ones. It was the ones without spot, without blemish. It was the best that he had. He brought those firstlings and of the fat thereof. Well, you don't have to read very many books past Genesis to find out that offering and the fat thereof, that was what God required later in the law. And what was it? It was a tithe, bringing the firstling, and it was offering, bringing the fat and the extras that wasn't required. It was the free will offering, bringing the extra fat, bringing the extra. That was a free will offering. It was something that wasn't required, but they gave to the Lord. It was a type of the tithes and the offerings. And in verse number 5, but Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect. He had not respect. Why? Because it pictured his works. It pictured his effort. It pictured, we don't even know if it was the best of the fruit. It doesn't say that. It just came brought of the fruit of the ground. We don't know. If we're to think that this type holds itself out, then he probably kept the best of what he had for himself. He probably kept the best of what he had to show that off. He took it to the fair and to the carnival, and he showed off his big pumpkins, and he showed off his the best squash that he had, and he brought all of that, and he showed all that off. It doesn't say. I don't know. Maybe he did bring the best. But if we're to kind of run this type out, which we have to be careful of, right? We can't make doctrines out of types. But he was pretty carnal. He was pretty carnal. And when the Lord didn't respect that offering, what did he do? He got mad about it. He got mad. He got wroth, the Bible says. He got wroth and his countenance fell. You know what that is? That's carnal. That's carnal. That's being overcome, letting our emotions be overcome by different circumstances that go on in our lives. Well, we think the Lord should have done this, and it's just not fair that the Lord let this happen in my life, so I'm gonna quit church, or I'm gonna stop reading my Bible, or I'm not gonna be friends with those people anymore, because I think God should have done it a different way. And the countenance falls and they get angry, and what is that? That's carnal. That's carnal. That's not spiritual. That's not spiritual. That's carnal. And say, how did Abel handle it? I don't know. We don't have the whole story, right? But Abel, as somebody who's a type of a spiritual Christian, you know what it appears? It appears from verse number 7 when he tells Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" It appears that if Cain would have went to Abel and said, "Hey, listen, I need a sacrifice. Can I have a lamb?" that Abel probably would have given him one. So it seems, because he had access to the right sacrifice. And that appears that Abel was in charge of what was required. And so Abel would have freely shared that. Right? That's the type of a spiritual Christian. Why? If we have the answer, if we have Jesus Christ, the spiritual Christian goes to someone else and says, "Hey, the answer is in Jesus Christ. Let me show you the way to God." Amen. He said we have to be perfectly righteous to get to him. And I couldn't make it, and you can't make it. But his son became this. He gave us his son as a free gift for a sacrifice for us. And hey, if we can all muster up a little bit of faith to believe in Christ, he accepts that sacrifice and he gives us his righteousness and we get in. That's what a Christian should be. A Christian should be that way. We've been talking about it in other classes, but man, other services, but we should be okay with forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And that's the spiritual man. Having charity, like I mentioned on Thursday night, having charity. What is that? That's a mature Christian. Now, I say that because we work our way through these things, and being selfless is putting down the carnal man and uplifting the spiritual man, so we can have charity one with another. And it's easy to say it's easy to be nice to people when they're nice to us. But what does charity imply? Charity implies that we're going to go above and beyond when other people might not be deserving of it. But we're still going to be charitable to others. When we do that, when we have a care and a concern for other people, beyond what's reciprocated to us, that's a maturity, that there's a bigger picture than just us. There's more than just us. And Abel is a type of that spiritual Christian. Spiritual Christian. And we look at this, and once we know that in type, once we can see this in type, then you can read the story, and the Lord can speak to you about the story of Cain and Abel, and saying, "All right, if Abel's a type of a spiritual Christian, and Cain's a type of a carnal Christian, then okay, I won't murder anybody." Okay, good job. All right, you've really restrained yourself there. All right. We can go beyond that, right? We can dig in there, and the Lord, as you read through and study it, and think on it and meditate on it, the Lord can show you different lessons through that typology when you read the story here of Cain and Abel. And you can read that and see what God has. But there's another type there, a type here in the Old Testament of we're saved, we're born again, and yet we have these natures. We have these natures in us. And one is going towards the Lord and towards the blessings of the Lord and following after what God's will for us is. And the other one's always looking after self, right? Putting me first, you next. That's what the carnal man says. What can I gain from this? Is there anything I can get? And some people come to church, they listen to the spiritual man, and they come to church, and then the preaching's happening, but they're absorbing the preaching through the carnal man. They're saying, well, I don't really see there's much benefit there for me. That might be for somebody else, but that couldn't be for me. I'm doing fine. My bills are paid. Things are good. I'll just keep going in the direction I'm going. That's the carnal man. We need to, when we're listening to the preaching or the Sunday school hour, we need to understand, okay, Lord, I want to receive this through the spiritual man. The carnal man's going to deceive me and lie to me. I know what he's all about. He's all about him. I barely got here because the carnal man is all about him. But I came. And now that I'm here, Lord, help me receive what you have for me through the spiritual man. Mm-hmm. Instead of just casting it off through the carnal man. It makes a huge difference. And once we need to learn how to navigate what's going on there. Learn how to navigate the carnal man from the spiritual man. And the Lord has many, many blessings involved in that. All right. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here in Sunday school. Lord, I pray you bless the coming hour, the preaching hour, Lord, the songs, and Lord, the people that come. Lord, thank you for that. Help us to be a church that loves one another and greet one another, Lord, just with kindness and charity. Lord, bless now this break and bring those in safely in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a break.